fans to this week's edition of Assembly Call Radio, where each week we discuss the most important topics in the world of Indiana basketball. This is our 233rd edition of Assembly Call Radio and our 739th episode overall of the Assembly Call, recorded on the evening of October 28th, 2021. I'm your host, Andy Bottoms. And let's begin this edition of the Assembly Call how we begin every edition of the Assembly Call, and that is with our Hoosier Proud banner moment.
And Indiana is the national champion.
When it comes down, Indiana will be champion.
Smart takes the shot.
The Hoosiers have won the national championship.
Well, for this week, I mean, there's a lot of things to pick from. You started with last Friday, I believe it was, the Ja'Kai Newton commitment to get things going. Then some honors for TJD this week, including being named a first-team AP All-American and a unanimous first-team All-Big Ten selection. Although, with 11 guys actually showing up on the All-Big Ten selection, there's a reasonable chance that at least one of the members of our panel tonight just missed out on a spot there with the with those 11. But excited for him to get those honors before the season and get recognized, and looking forward to see him make good to those predictions during the season. You had a picture come out from Mike Woodson that Bob Knight was at practice today, and all that with the first game of a new season less than 2 weeks away. So all of those things really continue that drumbeat of positivity that has been there throughout the offseason and leading up to what we hope to be a great season of IU basketball. So lots of good news on the horizon. So a number of banner moments this week. So I just tried to jam as many in as I could. So with that, let me introduce my esteemed co-hosts for tonight. Both Ryan and Jared are off. We do have a full house of co-hosts and coaches here with us. But first up,
he remembers the days when a movie cost a dollar. Heaven help you if you ever decide to pop your collar. Play hard, but remember fake hustle is a crime. He's the coach and it's Tonsoni time.
All right, Coach. Go to our first coach of the night with his own theme music. So it's Tonsoni time, Coach. What's on your mind this week?
I'm just honored to be here with all these coaches. There's actually four of us because you're the king of the youth coaching in Cincinnati, and so this is going to be a fun show. I think we're all going to talk about the picture that came out today of Coach Knight being at practice, and I think that just is a symbol for a lot of things with Indiana basketball that have changed with this new coaching hire and Coach Woodson being there. So that was just awesome to see here later this afternoon, evening, when I saw it on my Twitter feed. And then the other main thing for me is Trace Jackson Davis getting a lot of love from a lot of people across the country. And that's a blessing, and it's good because it's one of ours. And then it's also going to be interesting to see how he handles it's pressure, but you know, the expectations you got to meet and exceed those expectations. And it's going to be a different type of team with other scorers and other players available too. One, that's just exciting to me for him on his behalf personally, and where it can take our Indiana basketball team.
All right, next up, he is the brains and voice behind all of the insightful analysis in the IU Film Room, which is now part of our private IU sports discussion community. You can follow him on Twitter at Coach Adranya. It is Tony Adranya. Tony, we'll just file this under on Bob Thompson's to-do list to get some music for you here. So unless Coach wants to sing a rendition of something for us, we'll just go straight to you.
Yeah, I would love for Coach to put a little something together for me. That'd be great. super happy to be here. Super happy to be a part of the Assembly Hall community or Assembly Call community. Really excited to be here. Happy with kind of the news that it's been coming out, and
absolutely
excited to be here.
Cool. Well, we're going to talk a little Ja'Kai Newton later, and you had a nice breakdown of him, so we'll get your thoughts on him here in just a couple minutes. But finally, we've got our third coach on the team. He's coached girls high school basketball in Indiana for more than two decades, and he's now the newly minted host of the Grace Berger Show right here in the Assembly Call feed. He is Jeff Marlowe at IU Jeff on Twitter. So, Coach Marlowe, how you doing tonight, and what were your big takeaways from the first edition of the Grace Berger Show that came out this week, which I know I really enjoyed listening to?
Yeah, just what a great young lady that is representing the IU women's basketball program. She was, you know, we met and we got together about 15 minutes or so before we actually started recording, but just very nice and very personable, and just really, I think, going to be a lot of fun in the interviews we do. We kind of focused on last season and her experience with USA basketball, but that's kind of my banner moment for this week. I know TJD is coaching, you know, the other coaches have mentioned getting a lot of love, but how about Mackenzie Holmes and Grace Berger both being preseason All Big Ten first team selection? So that'll be my banner moment for this week since we're talking about the Grace Berger Show.
Absolutely. All right. So here's what we got to cover this week. We got Hoosier headlines, which we have quite a few news items to hit this week. Then we're going to do a coaches roundtable, which includes these guys have started in our community doing a Big Ten power rankings and an overall top 25 in the country. So got some questions for them as they break down the first edition of that. And then, of course, we'll answer your questions to close things out. So all that is going to be coming up this week on Assembly Call Radio. But don't forget to join our private IU basketball discussion community at assemblycall.com/community. As we announced last week, Tony's IU Film Room is now a premium part of our community, which will be raising the price for access before the season starts. So make sure you join up soon and lock in the current pricing. Also new to the community will be a Coach's Corner Top 25 poll and Big Ten Power Rankings I just mentioned, with these three gentlemen doing the voting. And they'll also have occasional Coach's Corner shows to discuss general college basketball results. There'll be some AMAs with Tamar and Grace Berger, I believe, as part of that. So a lot of great stuff going on in the community that we would encourage everybody to check out. Again, it's assemblycall.com/community. All right, guys, so a number of good things happening. So we'll hit the recruiting trail first. So Ja'Kai Newton picked IU, I believe it was last Friday. I know we talked a little bit about the prospects of that on last Thursday's show, and I think most things seem to be pointing that direction, but he did commit. So, Tony, I'll go to you first. Just what are your overall impressions of his game and maybe a nugget or two that you'd take out of your scouting report of him to share with everybody tonight?
Yeah, absolutely. So it sounded like somebody had a train going through their living room or something there.
Maybe. I live close to train tracks. One of my years in Bloomington. It can be disarming, but we'll get it figured out.
No, I'm super excited about the commitment of Newton. You know, the thing that really stands out to me is just his explosiveness and his ability to get to the rim. Once he's at the rim, he has a couple of tools that I really, really like that are more advanced, I think, than a kid his age, which one is jumping off of 2 feet. I noted on my breakdown of him, he's very good off of 2 feet, allows him to stay on balance, allows him to absorb contact. He's going to be going up against the Big Ten. So obviously, you know, it's been defined as tackle basketball from time to time. So definitely going to be able to have, are going to have to be able to absorb contact as a guard. And then another really good thing is he can finish with both hands. Honestly, he finishes more with his left hand, which is his off hand, in some of the videos that I've seen, which is really encouraging, a guy that can finish with both hands at the rim. So not only is he explosive in getting there, but he's able to finish once he's there, which is big. Already has a good body for the Big Ten. Has a wingspan that I think is +7 or +8. I mean, just extremely long. I think he's going to end up being a guy that on the defensive end is going to be a guy that's going to kind of be that lockdown guy on the wing for Indiana, which in all honesty, depending on who stays and who goes, they might have a few of those guys. So that's what's exciting to me about it is we're going to, you know, IU's really going to have a lot of good opportunities to do a lot of really good things on offense, but also on the defensive end in terms of ball pressure. I mean, all the highlights that I've seen of Newton or not highlights, full games or AAU games, and he's getting into guys, which, you know, some people, that's kind of an anomaly. in the AAU basketball realm. So, yeah, just a lot to be excited about with Newton. I think it's a really big pickup. I think it's a guy that can make an impact on a top-tier Big Ten team.
Yeah, Coach.
Yeah,
I guess I got to get used to this. I got to be more specific and give first name. So, Brian, you know what? I'm going to call you Coach. You're grandfathered in as Coach. So, Coach,
please call him Coach, not me.
What are your thoughts on Newton and kind of how he fits into everything as Tony mentioned?
Yeah, first of all, just a plug from the inside. The discussion that Tony had about the 2-foot play is why you need to subscribe to the IU film room. He's going to do a great job, and that's just excellent analysis, because when you can play off 2 feet, you can take hits, you can use the rim for protection against the length that he's going to play against. You're balanced, you can stop and pivot and find cutters and find shooters. And that's just something that, as coaches, we talk about all the time. And when I'm watching a game as a fan, I don't really pay attention to that. But that's the kind of stuff that I will plug the film room. I'm looking forward to watching it too, and then having conversations with Coach Adrania about what he sees in that. The ability to play defense in AAU is another comment that I also like, because sometimes people just try to hunt shots and get up points and think that, you know, it's a beauty contest offensively. And I like the idea that we're getting guys that have that toughness level. And you can display toughness on offense and defense. So I think it's a guy that I don't know his immediate impact as a freshman. I think he'll play as a freshman. I think it's a guy who's here 2, 3, 4 years. And as you go, that's the guy that's going to develop. This is not a player comp by any means, but Illinois has Trent Frazier, a 4-year senior guard who's, you know, as a freshman came in, did some things for them. You like those guys that are 4-star, hungry, chip on their shoulder, have an edge, have a little dog in the fight type of guy. And it seems like that is what we have in Newton. And that's just nothing, but you got to have pieces. And we all like the flashy 5-star pieces, but you got to have those foundational pieces that are just a little bit better than foundation, and it looks like he's that type of player.
Yeah, I think what you said in terms of just a guy that can develop and fit in the system over the course of time is, you know, it's what you want to see. There's so many successful Big Ten teams that have been built on guys like that, and his development trajectory, if you want to call it that, has been, you know, really rapid of late. So if he continues on that, I think only good things to come. Jeff, thoughts on Ja'Kai Newton?
I'm going to echo first what I've heard. I really like the film of him being able to finish at the rim. And I thought Tony had a good point that he finishes with both hands. And you know, a lot of times a high school kid will struggle with that offhand to finish in contact anyway. And I like that part of it. I like it. I like Newton's recruitment because he just, to me, he seems like more the Mike Woodson type of kid that we're going after. He's a little smaller. He's 6'3", but with his wingspan at about 6'10", I think he's going to be able to guard multiple spots. And I think with what Coach Woodson's talked about, at least in the spring when he got hired, of being able to guard multiple spots, switch everything, I think that's the kind of kid that we're going to keep seeing more and more. I was kind of looking in the chat mob comments here, and you know, obviously everybody's waiting on Clowney on Monday and talking about the kid from Finland or Sweden, but I really – one that's maybe still flying below the radar, and I know everybody says the UK kid – Cups is out there, but I'm still really kind of interested in them going after Reed Shepherd. I think Reed Shepherd would be a great fit into that junior classes, but I'm a little biased because I like kids like that can shoot it and have high IQ. So, but I think he'd be kind of a perfect fit if we could get that kind of kid too. But I really like, I like Coach, what Brian said, it's hard to teach toughness in terms of defending in the high school game. We may think we're physical. The Big Ten's an entirely different animal when it comes to being physical and guarding. And if you've got a kid that knows how to be physically tough and guard now, he probably will fit in pretty at least a little more seamless in the Big Ten.
Don't you guys think too, that when you have a knack for the ball in AAU, your deflections, your ability to read passes, that shows that you're locked in a little bit more on that end in AAU than you normally would be. I love seeing those clips of, you know, in help side and anticipating that pass and knocking it down. Of course, I'd like it to be the correct hand, but if you're athletic, just go get it, right? There's a different level of coaching with athletes. Like, you don't have to have the correct hand if you can just get it. But I like that. And we've seen a couple guys that have been recruited by Coach Woodson that have that IQ, Coach Marlowe, as you just said, you know, and that I think we'll see a consistent, probably characteristic of Coach Woodson's recruits.
Yeah, so Noah Clowney, I know, Jeff, you brought him up. He announces on Monday the 1st. Sounds like it's down to IU and Alabama for him, so it'll be interesting to see what ends up happening there. But it seems like both of those visits went really well, and it seems as though anything that you read has him down to those two teams. Talked about Trace being named AP First Team All-American and All-Big Ten First Team. He was the only IU player on the All-Big Ten First Team, though there were 11 guys. I joked about that. One of them was because, well, I guess two of them technically. There was a tie for the 10th one, although at the risk of agreeing with John Rothstein on really anything, the fact that some of these conferences have so many guys on these is a little bit screwy. But I think they said overall 8 teams represented out of the 11 guys or something to that effect. Secret scrimmage, not really a secret, just can't go, is Saturday, set to play Belmont and Louisville. The first one they called off because of some injuries, but sounds like this one is a go, so it'll be interesting to see what comes out from that. And then for those who are looking for other podcasts, Alex had a couple episodes of Podcast on the Brink this week. The first with Bart Torvik, so a decent amount of Wisconsin talk if you can handle that. But obviously, those of us who follow this closely use Torvik's site a ton. So all kidding aside, a really good episode with him talking through how he accounts for some different things in his analytics. And then with Matt Cox from Three Man Weave, I know that's a podcast and a site that I plug quite a bit on here, but those guys do a fantastic job of covering basically every conference out there. Matt is an IU grad, but does also like Duke, so nobody's perfect, obviously, in that scenario. But a couple good episodes there for folks looking for podcasts to listen to. Tony, any of those other headlines stand out to you? Any early thoughts on Clowney from anything you're hearing, or one of the others that stands out to you?
Yeah, I saw the Virginia Tech guy on 24/7 put in a crystal ball for Clowney today, which, I think Virginia Tech's out of it from everything that I'm seeing and hearing. I feel good about IU's chances. I think for what Clowney wants to do, where he wants to go, in terms of the next level, I think, it's hard to say no to Mike Woodson, especially with some of the momentum that he's got going there. Until, this staff kind of misses out on a big one so far, I'm feeling pretty good. Hopefully CBS College Sports Network or whatever will host this one. We're doing pretty good when recruits announce their decisions on there. So, I don't have any intel or insight or anything into the recruitment, but I feel good about where IU stands.
Jeff, you're in the firmly in the podcast game now with the Grace Berger Show. So not sure if you've had a chance to listen to any of the stuff from Alex at Inside the Hall yet, or any other podcast related thoughts that you might have.
I didn't really have a chance to listen to one with Alex, but I did catch part of. I was trying to play catch up on. I thought it was a really good interview with AJ Guyton and Dane Fife that was dropped just the other day, and there was some good banter back and forth between there. I really kind of liked, TJD. I like him getting publicity. I like him getting the notoriety. I just wonder if are we setting ourselves up? If he doesn't achieve that, let's say his stats don't bear out. Let's say he drops to 17-9 instead of 19-10. Are we going to be disappointed because we got more talent around him? I mean, I want to see us do something first. And I know we're going to get into this, the Big Ten power rankings and the top 25. I'm a huge fan, obviously, but I want to see us do something on the floor before I'm going to, be like, okay, we're a top 25 team. And I want to see Trace be a first, if he's going to be a first team All-American, I want to see a first team All-American on the floor.
Fair enough. Coach, round us out. Any other thoughts on the Hoosier headlines?
Yeah, I'm gonna call out Coach Marlowe. He was the only one of the three of us that didn't have IU in the top 25. So, you know, when you deal with me, Coach Marlowe, you're gonna get some trash talk every once in a while too. No, appreciate all Fair of you enough. Guys sending me those lists. We'll talk about that in the second segment. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of podcasts. I don't know about you guys, but my work productivity is dropping as I'm trying to listen to podcasts, and I'm exercising now just so I can go do something and listen to podcasts. I've been listening more to previews, again, for the bracketology part of what I do. I've been listening to Rob Doster in the Field of 68 previews. I've been listening to Three Man Weave previews. Obviously, I'm a big eye on college basketball with Gary Parrish and Matt Norlander. I know the chat mob busts me all the time for liking those guys, but I don't apologize. So, man, my podcast be daily coming up with college basketball, and it's just exciting. It's exciting for us as Indiana fans, but it's exciting, you know, starting in 2 weeks. I'm coming home at 7 after practice, and I have three TVs and a laptop and four college games watching every day, so I can continue to try to act like I know what I'm talking about with bracketology. But there's a lot of what I'm hearing from national guys, and I know that caused a problem when Archie was let go. A lot of people like the roster and see a chance for Indiana to pop. Even if they rank 5, 6, 7 in the Big Ten, there's a lot of talk on these national podcasts that Indiana's a team to watch, which is at least the first step. So that makes those things a little more enjoyable when you got to study the whole college atmosphere for what we do, Andy and I do, that at least your team's getting a little bit of a play now, as opposed to, you're going to finish 10th and as an afterthought. So, yeah, we're close, man. These last few days are going to drag until tip off.
Yep, I'm right there with you. I'm doing the same thing, although I'm realizing that the dates that I gave Alex for starting to roll out my preseason bracketology are rapidly approaching, and I haven't written one single word yet. So I got that going for me. So something to keep me busy over the weekend.
By the way, that's a wonderful shirt you're wearing, Andy. I think that's the best dress that you've ever been. Now, the
Delphi bracketology shirt. Right. So as I told Coach I'm just a walking billboard for him at this point. Whatever it takes.
That's right. I'm gonna have to hit up these other guys with some bracketology shirts.
Shoot it to me, man. I'll wear it, even though it's got that black and gold color scheme. I'll wear it.
Yeah, that's the only bad thing.
Hey, I want to throw this out there. What do you guys – what I know we can't go, but what would you want to see out of this scrimmage on Saturday, the secret scrimmage, assuming we play it? What do you want to see?
Yeah, I mean, if I think – obviously I don't have all the insight into how these work, but I think it's similar kind of how – or a lot of coaches are now running them kind of to how the high school scrimmage game works, where you'll have a quarter of zone, test out your zone offense, zone defense, have a quarter of full court press. So I don't know that IU and Belmont will work that way or do it that way. But from what I hear, that's kind of how some of these scrimmages have worked of late with some of these teams. So for me, you know, if you're Mike Woodson, you're just trying to see lineup combinations. You're trying to see, all right, you know, what guys know what spots. You know, it all happens pretty quick. I know they had that time in the Bahamas, but now they have some injury stuff that's going on. And you know, I know that as a coach, you never feel like you have enough time to prepare for that first game. It starts getting down and it's like, oh crap. Like, you know, I don't have a zone or a press breaker installed or whatever that may be. So when you have injuries and stuff, it makes things a little bit tougher to get things done in practice. You know, obviously they've got managers and practice players that can fill in for stuff, but not the same level of competition. So for me, you're just trying to figure out lineup combinations, trying to see what works, what doesn't, and get out of there healthy.
Yeah, I think it's important. I'd love to sit down with some college coaches and talk about it. I think it's really good to get time and score situations too. You know, if the other coach is okay with it, saying, okay, we'll be up 8 with 5 minutes to go, and you can talk strategy about, you know, whether you are going to be a guy that works the clock, you're still going to take first shots available. Those are things that are really important in a game that doesn't count if you can script those things. But from a basketball standpoint, Coach Marlowe, if I could see the game film, I am going to hit this early in any post-game analysis. Pace of play, are we attacking downhill offense, regardless of the set or the personnel? And what are we doing defensively, rotating out on shooters? Are we going to see some NBA out, multiple, you know, X out type stuff, pre-switching, triple switching, whatever they call ball screens? That happens a lot. Golden State has run that in the past, where they keep a big inside. And those are things for me that I want to look for as the fan. I just want better basketball. I want shots made, and I want people guarded, and I want winning and no injuries. So that's a lot of stuff, I guess, to ask for in a scrimmage, but that's what I would say.
Go ahead, Andy. From my perspective, a couple things just based on the opponent. I mean, one, Belmont is almost always one of the more efficient offenses in the country. And so I think it'd be a good early test for the defense against a really good scheme. And I think there's challenges in different parts of it. They got a really good big guy, Nick Musinski, I think is how you say his last name. So it's 6'11 guy inside. So is it somebody that Trace is able to both guard but also take advantage of on the other end? And then their point guard, whose name I'm trying to look up because I forgot it, Grayson Murphy, solid defender. Can be able to put pressure on IU, but also a good, you know, kind of true point guard, run the show. So does IU have somebody that can really get into him and disrupt what they want to do on that end of the floor? I don't know what we'll learn about IU on the offensive end, but I think the defensive end, to be able to slow down Belmont in some capacity, would be really a good thing to see at this point in the season. Just, again, given you got a veteran team, good scheme, good efficiency numbers, and a good track record of being a tough team to guard.
Well, and I just
don't overreact. I just don't overreact to a win or a loss or a box score either, because you don't know the situations. You don't know how many players are playing or who was limited, not limited, and that you're starting to see these things come through social media about who won or a close loss. Be careful overreacting. The first game's November 9th, and this is all helping Indiana build.
I agree. The only thing is, I sometimes feel like even in a scrimmage, I know it's a scrimmage, maybe a glorified practice, but I still think you got to try and build a little bit of winning mentality. And I don't get too worked up about a loss in a secret scrimmage, but I'm afraid the fan base might jump off a cliff if we lose to Belmont in a secret scrimmage.
Well, let's hope it doesn't come to that. Let's hope it doesn't come to that. All right. Well, that'll do it for our first segment. When we come back, we're going to have these three guys talk about their Big Ten power rankings and their overall college basketball top 25. So we'll have a bit of a coaches roundtable of sorts. Stick with us here on the Assembly Call.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right. Welcome, everybody. Four-person panel. A lot of people in the chat. So everyone is ready for some actual basketball. So, Coach, when's your first actual game for your team?
Our first game is the Tuesday before Thanksgiving.
Oh, okay. Oh,
you got it. And we're playing at Memorial Gym in Kokomo. Just a great facility to old as anything, but a great facility to play in. And they're always good, athletic, and they got a 6'10" guy from overseas that moved in. So me being in charge of the defense, I got to come up with a kind of a interesting game plan for game one. As Tony said, you got 12 practices before you play, or 13 practices before you play. And so It'll be interesting.
And your tallest guy is 6'3"?
Our tallest guy, we have
6'7" last week, right?
We got a 6'7". We got 6'7". We go 6'7", 6'5", 6'4", 6'3", which is good size for a 3A school.
Yep.
We don't have 6'11" drop step reverse dunk, guy from overseas. So we haven't seen him play yet. We're going to put him. Well, I don't know. Kokomo people watch this.
You never know who's listening,
The Kokomo radio guys do watch this, I think, every once in a while. So, yeah, we got some things we're going to do.
That's kind of the way I felt about interviewing Grace. I was like, I wanted to ask some questions, and we will do some during the season, obviously. But it's like, I don't want her to put her in a spot where she's like giving something away that an opponent might be able to use.
You sit here in your living room and you think you're just talking to three friends on a Zoom call, but then you realize that the podcast heard by 18,000 some people, and then you push it out on social media and you're giving up your strategy on Kokomo just being.
Kokomo coaches are like, go on, coach.
Yeah, keep going. We're tuning into Assembly Call this week.
They're going to be in the chat. It's under some other name. Tell us more.
How are you going to double the post? Tell us about your philosophy on doubling the post.
How you guarding pick and roll? Yeah,
that's right.
Who is coaching Kokomo now? I've lost track of who their boys coach is.
Is it Peckinpah? Gosh.
It is Peckinpah. Yeah, who was at Noblesville?
Yes,
he's going to do some good things there. That's going to be That's always a tough rivalry game for us every year anyway, but he's going to do some good things there. And then Sharon Wilkerson is at Logansport.
I saw that.
And that's on our schedule. So that'll be interesting.
You play West Lafayette?
We play West Lafayette. Van Arsdale's son, who's the head coach at Lafayette Harrison, his son was – talk about some experience. The dude was with J.R. Holmes at Bloomington South for 6 or 7 years. Then he went up to Carmel for a year or two. And now he's in our sectional. So
it's always fun.
I forgot that was a sectional game.
Yep.
I'm going to have to try and get down and watch you guys at least once this year.
Would love to have you. Let me know. I'll put you on a pass list. I'm big time. I can get you a $5 ticket.
Hey, I just sign in as a scout. I still carry my clipboard, and I just sign in as a scout wherever I go.
My dad, we lost my dad in 2004, but when I was first coaching, 98, 99, he'd come in and he'd sign as ESPN personalities. He was so ornery. Dan Patrick, ESPN, and he'd just sign in and go in. No one checks those things until the next day, and they wonder – Who was it that signed in?
Nice. All right, you guys ready? We'll dive in. We'll do the Big Ten stuff first, and then I think we actually hit a couple of the other questions he had in terms of the some of the preseason stuff and the secret scrimmage. So we'll probably just stick to the power ranking stuff and go from there.
All righty.
Here we go.
Hey guys, it's Gene Steratore, CBS officiating analyst and retired Big Ten basketball official. I have never listened to the Assembly Call, and to be honest, I don't intend to. But if you listen, make sure you ignore anything Ryan says about officiating. He's really good from the seat of his pants, but I wouldn't trust him on the court with a whistle around his neck. Time has proven him wrong on virtually everything. Take care. We'll talk soon.
All right, and welcome back to the Assembly Call. How do you keep up with the fire hose of information that comes out almost every day about IU basketball? It's crazy during the offseason and even crazier during the season, as we are about to find out. Well, luckily, we've got your back. We send out a free weekly email newsletter on Sunday mornings. It rounds up the most important and interesting IU basketball stories from the previous week to keep you up to date on your Hoosiers. Over 8,000 of your fellow IU fans are already on the list, and we want you to be on there as well. So go to join.assemblycall.com to subscribe for free now. That's join.assemblycall.com, or you can text IU to 66866. Again, that's IU to 66866. And welcome back. I'm Andy Bottoms, and I'm here with a trio of current and or former coaches. So going to do a bit of a coaches roundtable. And as we mentioned in the opening, these guys are going to be doing a top 25 for all of college basketball and a Big Ten power rankings that are going to be out in our community. Coach, what is the planned frequency of those? I don't want to overpromise and give you guys more work. What's your plan?
No, we're going to try to put out the poll every week. I've just asked these two guys to send me their top 25. I made a spreadsheet that would do the math for me. So all I got to do is get there, you know, and type in their picks. It's not, we're not going to meet and discuss or anything. So I just, it's up to me to remind them on Sunday nights to throw together a top 25. The reason I asked these two guys is one, they're part of our community with the, with what Tony's doing with the film room. And now Jeff's interviewing that, their coaches, and I think that it'll give our community members a perspective from coaching as opposed to writers or coaches poll where it's some, you know, director of basketball operations just filling out and sending in so the coach doesn't have to, you know, I'm just going to go. If you win, you're going to move up. If you lose, you're going to move down from where I started, and we'll see how much that's going to be my thought process, and the other guys can maybe talk about their thought process. But I like interacting with other members of the media and other members of our community that are producing stuff, and this is just a way to stay in touch. I think we're going to try maybe every 2 or 3 weeks to do a 15 to 30 minute video for the community in my coach's corner, which is just, you know, three old ball coaches talking about venues, about bucket lists, about, you know, boy, what games did you like? What teams shocked you this week? Just some general college basketball talk for a bonus for our paying communities in the membership. But those are going to come out as on a schedule basis, as all of us have other things that we have to do. So that's kind of the idea behind this, a weekly poll and rankings of the Big Ten power rankings. And then every once in a while, we'll put out a video coach's corner.
All right, so your first edition of the Big Ten ones came out this week. So you had Michigan first, followed by Purdue, Ohio State, Illinois, kind of the consensus top four by most, although I'll circle back to that in a second. Then Michigan State at 5, IU at 6, Maryland at 7, Rutgers at 8. I think those are, again, kind of a consensus top 8 in some order and kind of where you start to think that might be the last team to get in. Into the NCAA tournament. Then you got Wisconsin at 9, Penn State there, Nebraska, Iowa down at number 12. I don't know what Fran McCaffrey did to coach, but he, you know, just plummeting down the rankings. And then Northwestern at 13, Minnesota at 14. So I tried to pick out some of the places where you guys were the most different, although to be honest, there weren't a ton of differences by more than a couple spots. But we'll start at the top and kind of work our way from there. So, you know, a lot of these previews I've read or listened to, typically that four teams, those four teams at the top are the same four teams, but Ohio State is most often the fourth team in that top tier. But Tony and Jeff both had them third. So Jeff, I'll throw this to you first. Is this more of a function of your belief in Ohio State, maybe a lack of belief in Illinois, maybe a combination of the two, but why are you maybe higher on Ohio State than others who are doing some of these projections would be?
I'm just not high in Illinois. I love Brad Underwood. I really do. I love that style. Coach and I have talked about this before, you know, just really love Brad Underwood's style defensively, but I really think they're going to miss Io. To me, Frazier's not the player that I'm not trying to take anything bad away, say anything bad about Frazier, but Io was that guy. I remember last year I kind of was in the community more than I was on here, but I kept coming back to you need an alpha, and Io was the alpha. I don't see an alpha for Illinois, and I may be proven wrong, and that's fine. I'll admit if I was, but Coburn needs somebody that can get him the ball or draw defenders and set him up. So, and I like Holtman, but I was more the fact that I thought I'm not sold on Illinois, and I had them fifth. I honestly believe Michigan State will be in that top four because I think Izzo has. I think Izzo saw some issues. I think Rocket was probably a lot of the issue there for that team last year, at least as a point guard on the floor. And I really think that Michigan State, I think Michigan State's going to be better than most people are giving them credit for.
Tony, what about you? What kind of led you to slot Ohio State in above Illinois?
Yeah, I think Illinois very well may be more talented than Ohio State, but I think the system that Chris Holtman has is they're going to win games. They can win ugly. They've got offensive firepower. Their defense is always going to be, you know, top 10 in defensive efficiency, maybe top 20. And, you know, I think that style just translates to wins in the Big Ten season. So while I think Illinois may be more talented and head to head could possibly, you know, obviously beat Ohio State, I think When it comes down to like, all right, who's going to have the third best record in the Big Ten? That's kind of what gave me Ohio State. And again, I like Holtmann, and I think that he does great things. He'll do great things again this year with this Ohio State team, and kind of has that veteran leadership as aspect as well.
Yeah, Illinois is an interesting one. I think everybody projects a huge leap for Curbelo, and he'll certainly have the opportunity to take a huge leap because the ball is going to be in his hands a lot. I think you'll see him mature a lot from some of the, you know, mistakes that he made. But I don't know, you know, I think some of the turnover issues, I think, can get better. I don't know that the shooting can get better for him. Kofi, obviously, a huge factor there about, you know, with Illinois. By the same token, Ohio State, really like EJ Liddell. Kyle Young, need him to stay healthy. Point guard is the question there. They get Wheeler from Penn State, who maybe different supporting cast, different situation, different scheme, is able to show some things there that maybe he wasn't able to show at Penn State. So it's definitely an interesting one. I think Purdue and Michigan are pretty clear cut top two for me. And then I think you can, you know, pick what what aspect of either the other teams that you're most confident in and kind of go from there. But Coach, you had Illinois above Ohio State. So what tipped you in that direction?
Yeah, I'm higher on Illinois than Coach Marlowe is. We've had those discussions, and he makes valid points about losing DeSumo as a closer. But I think the college game is guard play. I think the top tier for me has better guards coming back that are experienced. I think Purdue, Illinois, and Michigan all have decent guards that have played for a few years. And they all have good big men too. So that's why I have those in the top tier. The question mark for what I would consider tier two, your Ohio States, Michigan States, Indiana, is they have guards, and they have guards that have transferred in and reasons to like their guards, but they're all somewhat questionable until we see them. We know what we're going to get with Frazier and Curbelo. They've been around. We know what Eli Brooks at Michigan. We know Hunter and Sasha and Ivy are like at Purdue. I think those guards would be – they could take a step back. Those kids can take a step back. But preseason, by what we know, those guards have produced in the Big Ten. Then you go down to, you know, Walker and Christie at Michigan State, the Wheeler and the – you know, Chris Holtmann even said at media days that he's really concerned about what his guard play is going to be like. Their front line is no doubt a top team in the Big Ten. So you go down to IU. We got much better guards, but it's the first time playing together with Stewart and Kopp and those guys. And so it broke down for me that veteran presence in the backcourt, top three, and then the Ohio State's through. The only way where that philosophy doesn't fit is Maryland, I think, has some wings that are veteran. I just don't like Maryland. So I'm not going to put them in the top tier because they're coached by Mark Turgeon. And he's on my bottom three coaches list. So he gets downgraded just because of that. It's going to be interesting to see if I'm right on that, because that means Rutgers has a chance to move up with Ron Harper Jr. and Geo Baker and the McConnell guy. That's intriguing to me, why I like Rutgers. They're big. The reason I have them eight is their big is questionable. And I think if you have a questionable big right now, you're going to suffer in the Big Ten this year with the amount of bigs. So that's where my tiers came from. And again, I think the top seven, you can basically put them in a hat and maybe pull them out based on scheduling, luck, injuries. Wouldn't be surprised to see any of our 4, 5, 6, 7 schools pop up into the top and compete for a Big Ten championship if everything goes right. I think it's the toughest league in the country, and the top seven are all going to do battle on a night in, night out basis.
And Coach, I will say this: I put Rutgers at 8-2, but man, I really like Steve Peichel, and I was very tempted to put them higher. I'm not sure about their bigs. I think their guards will be good, but I really like Peichel.
Yeah, Illinois.
I tell you, he was good to talk to you at the media days.
Yeah, to circle back to Illinois with one thing. I mean, they really do not. They obviously have Kofi, who gives them a ton of size, but otherwise they just do not have a ton of guys that they know what to expect from in the front court. They're going to end up playing really small, it seems like, based on their personnel. Maybe that works, and he's enough. And if you can surround him with guys who can really shoot it, then there's a possibility that can work out. But they're fairly thin, at least from an experience standpoint up front. I know they got transfer from Florida, but I don't know that he
right.
He didn't do anything that much at Florida, aside from elbow John Fulkerson in the head in the SEC tournament. But so Michigan State, this is another one I want to talk about. I know Jeff, you talked a little bit about them. You were higher on them than most. You know, they are an interesting one. I think the Rocket Watts addition by subtraction argument is certainly a fair one based on, you know, how he played at times. But they do lose Aaron Henry. They lose Josh Langford, who was there forever. And so they've got questions in my view. I don't know if this is just a quintessential Tom Izzo just gets a lot out of these guys. They got a Tyson Walker, the transfer from Northeastern, should run the point. And they got Max Christie as a freshman who's going to be their backcourt. They do have Gabe Brown, who still corner threes are giving IU fans nightmares from that. Joey Hauser, who I thought was pretty underwhelming in his first year there from Marquette before. So is that, Jeff, I guess I'll go to you first since you were highest on them. Is that a bet on Izzo as much as anything? And just does this personnel seem to fit well with the kinds of teams that you think he's done well with in the past, or what makes you so bullish on them compared to the other guys?
Yeah, I like Izzo. I remember seeing him, and Coach, you may have been there, remember this. He was at the IBCA several years ago, and I really loved listening to him talk and things. I wish I would have went up and watched one of their practices one time. But I just think that Izzo's one of those guys that when you don't think they have much, all of a sudden he shows his coaching ability. And it may be more of grinded out Izzo team. I'm not sure you'll see them running up and down the floor a bunch. I think they'll really jump back in to just, you know, playing solid D. They're going to crash the glass. And so I'm more sold on Izzo than the guards coming in. Hauser, I guess more just because I think a lot of Izzo, and I think he's, you know, one of the best coaches in the Big Ten. And I think there's a personal, if it was me, you know, being in that position, that level, I'd be sitting there every day in the summer and in the preseason, be like, I'm not finishing sixth or seventh again in this league. We're better than that. And I'm just hammering them every day with the expectations better than that.
All right, Tony. So you were the lowest on Michigan State. You had them at sixth. What gives you pause about ranking them any higher?
Yeah. In all honesty, it comes down to talent. I just don't know what they have. I'm obviously not as well tuned into Michigan State as I am Indiana. Indiana happened to be the team that I picked over Michigan State at fifth, which I think is probably the highest. I think was the highest on the panel. By a decent margin. I just, you know, from a Michigan State standpoint, they have an excellent coach. They've got a couple guys returning, but like we mentioned, they lost a lot. They do have some nice freshmen coming in. They got a nice transfer from Northeastern that averaged like 20 points a game last year. So I just don't know what they have from a talent standpoint. And I think they're a team that they might lose to a mid-major or something in November, but come March, they're probably going to be a force.
All right, so let's move to IU now. So you guys had – one of you had – Tony, you had him fifth. Coach, you had him sixth. Jeff, you had him seventh. Coach, I'll kind of throw this to you first. You know, what did you – I guess to give some context, you had IU right behind Michigan State and in front of Maryland. Your feelings on Maryland are well known, so it's probably not too much of a stretch to figure out why you had him in front of them. But just as you evaluated – you know, IU in this process, you know, what led you to putting them where you did?
There's just a lot of question marks, and I think they're going to be answered in the positive, and maybe that's just the fan in me, and I want them to be answered in the positive. Everything has gone right since Coach Woodson has been hired, for the most part, short of something we don't know or behind the scenes, whatever. But I don't know that we could have scripted a better start for a new coach coming in. But he is a new coach, and even a veteran coach of the NBA moving into college game, there's going to be some pains between he and his staff. When you're mixing talented players from Pittsburgh, from Northwestern, they're gelling. The Bahamas helped. All of those things are going to be answered, I think, in the positive that this team is going to gel together. But you have to see it on the floor to see that it gels together. Everyone's happy in the preseason because they're practicing, they're getting run in practice, and then all of a sudden game time comes, and all of a sudden one guy gets 3 minutes, the other guy gets 4 minutes. there's no way to predict happiness or team cohesiveness or whatever. So, you know, we catch a lot of flack for saying we got to wait until we see. This Indiana team, I think on paper, can contend to be in the top three. I think they have talent. There's no denying that Xavier Johnson scored 14 points in the ACC and was able to drive the lane and do some things. Miller Kopp shot almost 40% as a sophomore until he got heavily guarded in his junior year. You know, Parker Stewart is a scorer. There's no doubt. So, but we just don't know how it's all going to fit. Where other pieces, we've seen it. Purdue, we've seen it. The system's been there. Michigan is a little bit ahead of the game. Juwan Howard, same issue, has seen it. That's why I think Indiana's going to be better than Ohio State, if you want my honest opinion. I think they're going to have a chance to be better, more talented than Michigan State. But veteran coaches who have done there before, who in practice their 3-4 year players are teaching the other guys, there's so many new things that I think that's going to be a couple speed bumps for the Indiana Hoosiers just because of the newness. That's why I had them sixth, but I can see them as high, you know, as high as they can go, catch some breaks and stay healthy. I like this talent.
All right, so Jeff, you were the lowest. You had them seventh. Is that more of a just you just want to see it? I think you kind of alluded to that a little bit with some of your comments earlier. That was how I interpreted it. But is that kind of what leads you there, is just a lot of new pieces in place and just need to see it first?
Yeah, I want to see it. And I want to be pleasantly – I want to be surprised, but I want to be pleased that we're playing as well as we are rather than being disappointed if I pick us higher. I also do have some concerns. I know everybody says, you know, coaches saying, wait. I do have some concerns when we're 10 days out and we're still hearing rumblings of guys being out with injuries. And that factors in a little bit into my preseason. I put Maryland slightly ahead of them as much as it pained me, but I want to see it on the floor. I agree with Coach. I really think we can contend. I think by middle of the season, I can have us being a 3 or a 4 on here in a power ranking or even possibly higher. But right now, too many question marks, and I'm getting concerned about these rumors of injuries that don't seem to be going away.
All right, Tony. So you were highest on IU. So I'll let you finish the IU portion of the discussion. We'll finish on a high note with the most optimistic viewpoint.
Yeah, I mean, I think Indiana, just from a defensive standpoint, I think Archie Miller, you know, the pack line wasn't, you know, that's kind of like a cuss word now. But in all honesty, the defense that IU played in the Bahamas was very similar to the pack line. A lot of guys sitting in gaps and I think they were a little bit more disciplined in terms of help side and whatnot. But I think Indiana is going to be a good, solid defensive team. And they were under Archie Miller most nights in the Big Ten. But I think offensively, we're going to see a big leap. I do have concerns about shooting. You know, that was the big concern on the offensive end last year was shooting. But, you know, having a guy like Miller Kopp and guys like Parker Stewart and Anthony Leal, I think, is going to be somebody that's going to really have to step up and knock down some shots this season. They excite me. The talent level excites me. Coach Woodson, not going to lie, has got me excited, and that's what kind of brought me to number five. But in all honesty, I'm actually, in a really weird way, I don't know if excited is the right word, but to see how Indiana handles some adversity with Mike Woodson, because like we said, everything has seemed to gone right. They won all the games in the Bahamas. They've really hit it hard on the recruiting trail and gotten a lot of good things done. So I'm excited to see how they handle adversity, because this kind of core group of guys a couple seasons back, when they hit some adversity, all of a sudden it was losing 11 of 12 and things like that. So things are going right. It's really easy to be happy-go-lucky and positive. But when things go wrong, I'm kind of excited or interested to see how this team will handle adversity, because it's going to come, you know, as we all know, in the season, things aren't always perfect. And so it'll be interesting to see how this group handles it, because historically, kind of that core group hasn't handled it well.
All right. So we'll hit, there's kind of three teams in the 10 to 12 range, which we don't need to spend a ton of time on, but Penn State, Nebraska, Iowa were there. You each had a different one of them rated 10th. So overall, Penn State ended up coming in at 10th. Tony, you were highest on them. So I'm just going to go to each of you as I get to the team that you were the high person on to give your thoughts maybe about why you think they might surprise some people or at least be at the top of this particular tier and maybe a team that upset somebody along the way. So, Tony, you had Penn State. What led you in that direction?
Yeah, I like Shrewsbury. I like what he's building there at Penn State. And in all honesty, it kind of came down to, all right, who's, you know, that bottom tier of the Big Ten. It was like, all right, who's might be a little bit better. As you noted, all of us are pretty low on Iowa, Northwestern, and Minnesota is just, I think we all agree, they're just going to be god awful. Like, I don't, like, could not win a game in the Big Ten, awful. And so really it just kind of came down to that Wisconsin, Penn State, Nebraska tier. I honestly could see Wisconsin falling to the bottom of that tier of teams and Nebraska and Penn State kind of rising to the top. But I like what Shrewsbury is building there at Penn State. And like I said, when it came to that tier of teams, it was kind of like, all right, you know, who's got a little bit more talent here or what coach has experience there. So that's kind of what led me to give Penn State that little bit of a higher ranking there.
All right. So the aggregate, you guys had Nebraska 11th. Coach, you were the highest on them. You drinking the Fred Hoiberg transfer Kool-Aid this time around. Now he's reformed the roster for the third time in 3 years.
You know, isn't that shocking? You know, he's been here for 4 years and it's almost been a brand new team every year. And that alone is going to keep Nebraska down to the bottom. But they got a couple guards in the McGowans, I believe is their name. Mm-hmm. If I'm wrong on that, is that correct?
Yeah, they got the two. One's a freshman, star, one was a transfer. Yeah, one played last year.
And I tell you what, I like the stuff that he runs. It's a lot of the spread stuff, five out, drive, kick, find advantages. And what I like about guys who come from the NBA and go to college is that they just have a playbook that is full of ways to take advantages. So they'll find the fourth or fifth weakest spot on a team, and they'll do some false motion and work the offense around in the first 5 or 10 seconds, and then, bam, they'll hit that worst defender, or they know who to attack on help. And when they can shoot it, then they become dangerous. And so I think that's an opportunity for Nebraska to pop. I think this is their best talented team. You have a coach who took Iowa State, and I know he wasn't very successful at the Bulls, but if you're a head coach in the NBA, you know what you're doing at some point schematically. There's a lot of factors in success at the NBA. So I just think that, you know, they scared some people at times with their play in the first few years under Hoiberg. I think they're going to get a couple, but I think you can say that about Penn State. I think you can say that about Northwestern as well. These teams that we think are that in the bottom have some good players. Their coaches are rather good. The talent level overall is somewhat weak. I just think for me, it was Nebraska who was slightly ahead. You know, Tony's Penn State, I didn't know this, but they're the oldest team in the Big Ten. I heard that at the Big Ten Media Day. Now you get a coach who's been with Brad Stevens and, you know, been at Purdue, and you got veteran players. That's a reason they could pop. You can find a reason for any of these bottom teams, except for Minnesota, to pop and maybe get up into, 8-9 range. I'm not sure how many of them really have a chance to be on the bubble for consideration for the tournament. But for me, it was Nebraska. I think you can go a multitude of ways.
All right. So then, Jeff, you were the highest on Iowa of the group, much to coach's chagrin, I'm sure. Was it, what was it that had you about Iowa, or was it kind of what Tony said? It was like the lesser of some of the other evils within that tier.
Yeah, I could very easily have moved Iowa down. I just wasn't quite enough sold on Penn State. And I did not realize that about the experience level there at Penn State, at least age wise. So that would factor in a little bit for me, I'll be honest. Nebraska is the one I really struggled with here, because I really think that that's a team that could move up the standings, kind of a la Rutgers a couple years ago. I'm with Coach. I really like Hoiberg. I really like what they do on the offensive end, especially. And that was one I really struggled with, to slot them in there. I really struggled with Wisconsin. It was kind of like I could have drawn the old Billy Martin lineup thing. You just draw names out of a hat and slot it in, and that's your batting order. But I really struggled because I think I'd be ready to see them, because I think Guard lost that locker room, and I'll be interested to see if he's got it back. If he hasn't, then they're not the ninth best team in the Big Ten either. I just kind of went with the teams that traditionally had been decent. But I could see Iowa and Wisconsin at the bottom of that group rather than at the top.
All right. So overall top 25, we have gone for a while in this, so we don't need to dig too deep into here. I just kind of highlighted some teams that had the most variance between the highest and the lowest person. So Memphis, there was a 10 spot different. Coach had them at 12. Jeff had them at 22. Illinois, we touched on a little bit. Tony was the highest and Jeff the lowest. It was a 9 spot gap between those. Kentucky, Coach had at 8th. Tony had them the lowest at 16. And then there were four teams that had a 6 spot difference. Ohio State, Alabama, Florida State, Tennessee. Coach, I'll kind of throw this to you first. I'll just give you each a general question. I mean, anything stick out to you as you were putting this together that surprised you, either a team that you were a lot lower on than other people, a team that you were higher on than the other guys?
You know, it gives insight into these polls. You know, when you put your own poll together and you got three guys or two other guys that you really respect and you see their polls come in and you're like, oh, what did I miss? It was an eye-opening thing to see, you know, how many ever AP voters there are and how many coaches put their thoughts into it. And so it gave me a perspective that of the rankings are important, but man, there's so many different perspectives, and these are guys here that I just love to talk basketball with, and we have a 6 or 8 point, 8 line difference, but that's what makes sports good too. We can sit around and have a beer and a pizza and talk about why Memphis is good and someone thinks Memphis is bad. If you look at the teams that I was higher than everyone else, it was simply talent, and I think you're going to have, for me, the Kentuckys, the Dukes that recruit the 5-star talent are always going to be ranked a little bit higher until they prove that they're struggling, and then we'll quickly drop Kentucky out like last year, and it was such a glorious drop. But for me, in the offseason, we've heard a lot until we see it. It's just got to go on talent. So for me, I'm very high on the kids that Memphis got in, but there are questions about, can talent gel? Of all these big mega 5-star recruiting factories, there haven't been too many national champions. You know, you get Baylor winning last year, which was awesome. Gonzaga gets some good guys, but I'm talking Kentucky, Duke, these 5-star one and done factories haven't really won in the tournament. So that's where I'm probably wrong in putting those guys sliding Memphis, Kentucky, Duke a little bit higher than the other panelists. But it's not easy putting a top 25 together either, because you're biased by what you've read. You're biased by the Big Ten. You're fans of the Big Ten. Do I put Indiana in as a fan? Do I not put Indiana in? And then there's just no way. We all have other jobs to really know what St. Bonaventure's squad is, right? Or what, you know, I picked Texas Tech because they've been good in the past and their assistant was there. And I was the only person who had Texas Tech in the polls. So more eye-opening than probably accurate, I think. I think it'll be interesting to see as we go along the season and watch games play out how we react on the panel. And that's part of the reason it creates conversation in the community. It creates a conversation between the three of us.
Yeah, I did. I would say, Coach, I was surprised that I pretty much figured that was going to be your answer on the Kentucky and Memphis, just because it was the town, the recruiting rankings. I would not have pegged you as the guy to get really go all in on the recruiting rankings, but here we are. So yeah. Who knows? Tony, what about you? Any specific thing or team stand out to you as you guys did it that you might have been higher or lower on?
I mean, basically just echoing Coach's sentiments there. It's once you start doing it, it's difficult. Then you got to like, all right, make sure I didn't miss anybody that major, so I don't look like a complete jack wagon here. Was also part of the exercise here, but you know, preseason rankings, I've always kind of called them a crapshoot when it comes to these things, but it's fun to kind of do your own. And like Coach said, you're with like-minded individuals, people that you respect a ton. And so, yeah, you see Coach's poll come in, you're like, dang, you know, like what did I miss on Kentucky or, you know, whatever the case is there. I will say Kentucky actually does have some guys that can shoot the ball outside of 5 feet this season. So, they may actually be a tad better, but more so than anything, it was fun to do. I'm excited to do these each week, and once games start being played, I think that's when it'll really be exciting and to really kind of dive into like, all right, who do I think is going to be really good this season, or who's performing really well, or who were the sleepers that weren't even on any of our radars and stuff like that. So more so than anything, just a really fun exercise. I enjoyed it.
All right, Jeff, what about you? What stood out to you from the exercise?
Well, first of all, I just want to echo Tony and Coach. Really enjoyable. And Coach, I want to give you credit for, at least you were the one who emailed me first, credit for you for coming up with the idea. I'm really looking forward to the season. And I kind of like Tony, you when I started seeing the list from the other two, I was kind of like, yeah, maybe I'm missing something. But I just, like, I'll say this. I had Florida State higher than the other two. And I'm just I like Leonard Hamilton. But it's also a case where Florida State's also going to have one of those or two of those games during the season where you're going to be like, they lost to them? And I'm going to look like an idiot for pranking them preseason where I did. But I based a little bit of mine more on tournament. And I think where some of these are going to be at the tournament. Leonard Hamilton has shown he wins in the tournament. I just really, from that standpoint, and then I want to see Memphis do something. I'm sorry. They may have talent, but Penny hasn't done anything with it the first 2 years. And so until I actually see them do something, I have a hard time moving them up much past number 20. I think I had them ranked around 22 or 21 in my poll. So that was that. And I was really looking for a non-Power 6 team. And that's why I kind of focused in on St. Bonaventure. I really wanted to try and give some love to teams that don't necessarily always show up in the AP top 25 poll. But that when I know about St. Bonaventure, what I read, I think they were said returns all five starters or four of their five starters in a team that won their league last year. So that was, I really am kind of interested in watching those types of teams as we go through the season, because I think there's some good basketball played in the A-10 and those other leagues. And I will say one thing, the other one, I had Houston ranked a little better than the other two, not because I'm a huge believer in Houston per se, but that league's not very strong. They're going to win a ton of games.
Yeah, that league's got them and Memphis, and then you got another tier of a few teams that are decent, like SMU and Central Florida, and I forget who else is in there that I'm Wichita State that I'm forgetting, and then the bottom of that league is just horrific. But anyway, yeah, I think, you know, Houston, I could kind of tell. It's kind of funny just looking through what you guys did. I kind of tell what you guys valued, and I think Jeff, you were big on track record and people who had done it. I think Houston fits that bill. Florida State fits that bill. So we'll see. Once we have actual games to talk about, I think things will probably converge a little bit more for you guys after you get a few weeks in, but we'll be fun to follow along over the course of the season with that. So with that, we're going to take a quick break, and then coming up in our third segment, we will answer your questions. So stick around with us here on the Assembly Call, and we'll be back to answer those questions.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, good stuff. Big Ten ones we could go back and forth on for a while. But at least I tried to hit the ones that you guys at least had some dissension on. There was a couple pockets where everybody was the same, which is fine. But
Jeff and Tony, what I'm going to do, I think I emailed Andy, asked for that information. That's the spreadsheet that I put together, and I've got some formulas where it just calculates the average or the points or whatever I did there. What I'm probably going to do, if you guys would prefer, is just give you a tab at the bottom of that spreadsheet and put your name on it. And then you can just every week go week of whatever the Sunday date is, and then just type in there on that form every week instead of having to email and type that up that way. And you could just do, you know, if you want to keep track of it on that spreadsheet, like week one, here is my selections, week two, week three, week four. You can do whatever you want on that page. Okay. So make sure, I think I gave everyone access if you had the link on that email. I sent it back in response to Andy. So go back and check. If you don't have access to edit that, I'll try tomorrow when I'm supposed to be teaching to put tabs in there for you. And That way, then you can just open that up and type it in, and then it'll be there for me when I calculate it every Monday morning.
Coach, clearly worried that the Kokomo coaching staff is listening in. Not worried that the principal or other people from the school district are listening in.
It's priorities, man. Priorities. All right. I'm going to make sure that you have viewing access or whatever. So, I'll make sure that's edit.
That sounds good.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, Tony, I really liked your comment. I mean, I'm not as up with Minnesota's talent, but are they really? I mean, is it possible they'd be that bad of like 0 or 1 win talent?
I mean,
yes.
It doesn't look good. I mean, it's not like Tom Crean year one level talent, but because he'd actually have scholarship players, but it's.
Okay.
They churned a lot of the roster and brought in some.
I knew that.
They brought in a ton of transfers, but none that really seemed to clearly translate to being able to play at the Big Ten level, I guess is the.
And I'll be interested because people are high on Chris Beard in Texas. I mean, we were looking at, I had him, I think I had him at 5th or 6th, I had him a little higher. I had him a little higher. Tony and Brian both had him a little lower, but. There's a lot of people. I heard a couple of podcasts. I've seen some things, previews that really think Marcus Carr is going to be a stud down there.
I think if it depends, they got a lot of guards. So I think if he embraces just being a facilitator, which he probably can do a little bit differently there than he could have done at Minnesota, then I think he can be really good. I think where he struggled was they were counting on him to score a lot too. And then when guys weren't like Gabe Kalscher wasn't hitting shots and some of that, like I think he really pressed and took a lot more shots and his efficiency was not as good. I think Courtney Ramey is in the backcourt there. I think he's a guy who wants to have the ball in his hands a lot. I think that's probably the biggest thing. If you can get like roles sorted out back there, I think he can be really good. I think if it's muddied and it ends up being that they're really counting on him to score a little bit more, then I think it might not work out quite so well.
And Tony, I didn't get a chance to email this, but you were one, you didn't have Arkansas on your list. Do you just think they lost too much? But Brian and I both had them in our top 25.
It might have very well been an oversight. That was that one where I was trying to not miss it and I missed it.
That's fair. I mean, it isn't easy.
They got a lot of, I mean, like they always do with Musselman. I mean, they got a lot of guys that left as well though. So
exactly.
They're a tough.
And I've said this, and Andy has said this too, but once we started doing bracketology, if you're a top 8 seed, that's 32 and we're only listing 25. So there's bound to be some real talented teams that are going to be left out every week, especially on a 3-member panel. We won't have too many receiving votes, but you guys should have access now. I did add a tab with your name at the bottom, so you can go in and format that any way you want. That'll be your worksheet. And after Sunday's game, Sunday night, whenever you want to do it, sometime on each Sunday, just type that in, and then I'll transfer my scoring to the front page, and then you can I'll let you know when it's updated every week.
Perfect.
Excellent. All right. That'll simplify it from sending emails and all that stuff.
All right. Well, let's. We don't have a ton of questions, so we should be able to go through this pretty fast. The one question in here, the Brian's question is a good one, but I'll kind of go over his, and maybe you guys can talk through if you've got other, guys that you would slot in there or not. That's a lot to ask anybody to come up with, and I even saw the question earlier. So
that's an off season. You might want to comment too. That's an off season show.
Yeah,
right there is getting a 13 squad IU, all IU squad.
Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be a great off-season topic.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we will get started here.
This is Jordan Halls, and I never miss a shot or an episode of The Assembly Call.
Welcome back to The Assembly Call. I'm Andy Bottoms, and it's now time to go to our mailbag for some questions from everybody. So all these questions were submitted via our private IU basketball discussion community, which you can learn more about and join at assemblycall.com/community. All right, so first question is from John. He said, this is my first question in the community. With only about 2 weeks to go until tip-off, what are you most excited about seeing in this new IU system? Tony, I'll throw this one to you first.
Yeah, the offense, just the offensive flow. I think that I probably stole everybody's answer. But obviously, you know, we felt like we've kind of suffered through the last 4 years of just not great spacing and flow and ball movement and all those good things that create great offense. And so that's what I'm excited to see. Obviously, you know, as Coach said, these guys that come from the NBA, their playbooks are, I mean, they're hundreds and hundreds of sets that they know to get the right guys in the right places. So I know that we won't lack that coming, you know, ATOs and all that good stuff. I know Woody will have a million of those that will get great looks, and I'll be excited to break those down in the film room. But I'm excited to see just motion offense, how it flows, the spacing of how guys, you know, creating double gaps, triple gaps, all that good stuff. And then what they do on the backside. The one thing that I've always that always frustrated me with Archie Miller is when they ran certain sets or certain motion offenses or their blocker mover stuff was the backside always stood still. So the help side defense never really had to move, never had to think. And I think that created a lot of offensive issues. I know that Woody, you know, being an NBA head coach, is going to have that backside moving. So that's what I'm going to kind of have my eye on is, you know, what's IU doing on that backside that's occupying the help side defense. You know, the offensive side of the ball will be exciting, but then defensively seeing how they guard ball screens and just, you know, what that system is going to be and whether that's going to be, you know, this is how we guard them or if they're going to switch night to night or based on personnel and things like that. So, obviously with a new coach, there's a million things I could rattle off and I'm probably taking everybody's answers. So I'll stop now.
Jeff, yeah. I'll let you go next. If there's anything that Tony didn't hit that you want to,
I think Tony took everything. No, I mean, seriously, I mean, there's when you get a new coaching staff in, I think that's always something you really want to see is the differences are going to be. I've been on here before and in the community, and I always say pace for me means faster. I don't like walk it up style. I realize there are times you have to set up an offense and you got to run your sets, but I really want to see us play a little bit more of an up and down game. And I think we saw some of that in the Bahamas with a little bit of where they'll at least pick up full court. I'm not saying it's 40 minutes of hell, but they're going to at least put some pressure and make the other team play at a pace that we want them to play at. The other thing I really want to watch, and Tony kind of mentioned the pick and roll coverage, I want to see is how we play the post. I really believe that we'll see more NBA style, double the post and rotate off the backside, more of what you'll see from an NBA standpoint. And I'll go back, you know, Tony and Brian both mentioned, I was at a conference or a coaching clinic several years ago called Coaching You, which is put on by Brendan Sir and Brian Eastman and those guys in the NBA. I was one of the few high school coaches there. It was in Indy. They were all the college guys were in there for the Nike camp that was going to start on like the next day. And it was just listening to those guys in the NBA talk about all their sets. My hand hurt after about the first hour and a half because I'm sitting there trying to do all this stuff. And Brendan Sir gave us a number or gave us his email. And so I was like, okay, there's some really good stuff here. I emailed him, like, do you think some of this stuff can work in a high school? I mean, you guys have different defensive rules than we do. And he goes, absolutely. And I put some of that stuff in. If Brian saw some of my teams there when he was with Delphi the last couple of years, my last few years, where we ran a lot of stuff that came out of that. And one of the stories I'll tell real quick here is, they were with the Pistons and they were running this set for Isaiah and Vinnie Johnson was kind of getting jealous. And he's like, hey, I want to play similar to that. So they just Daly just draws this up for him and they start running that and nobody could stop Vinnie on that. And that was the one thing I think Tony kind of hinted at a little bit. We all kind of in high school game think that we're going to, we just got to outsmart everybody. Like, oh, I ran this and it worked, but I got to run something else. Cause they'll know what's coming. Those NBA guys are blunt. They're going to run something until you stop it. And I think you'll see that from Mike Woodson. If he finds something that's working, he's going to milk it until the other team makes an adjustment.
Coach, what about you?
Well said by the other two coaches here. I echo everything, the offensive pace, the defensive rotations. Tony brings up a really good point from what I saw in the Bahamas is the movement of the guards off the baseline when the pick and roll action is moving. They had some lift action. They had some crossing. They had some MSU, you know, double pins where they run guards through. But it really did stand out to me in the Bahamas that the movement on the backside, as Tony was talking about, was really emphasized on offense. And that was a point where they really hadn't done anything but conceptually put in an offense. So I think that's going to be interesting. So I'm going to change up a little bit and go, I'm excited to see college basketball back like it should be with fans and bands. It has been a long time since March of 2020 when everything was shut down, just drastically shut down. And while we were glad to have basketball last year, it just wasn't the same in empty arenas. For those of us who just watch on TV, it might have been a little more similar. But even the tournament, all in one city, protocols, teams, players not playing, teams not playing. I just think we're back to some semblance of normal. And I know that there's still some health issues in our country and all of those things. But I'm excited to see on November 9th people in Assembly Hall rooting on the Hoosiers. I'll have two other TVs watching the Classic and Michigan State and all those guys in that Champions Classic that starts out. It's just good. I can't wait to just watch a ton of college basketball this season.
All right, so next question is from Brian. I'm going to read this, and we probably could save this for a good off-season topic, but I'll at least get your reactions to how he did it. I do give him a lot of credit because he showed his work and actually went through the exercise that he has to do. He goes, if you could construct an NBA team of 13 former IU players based solely on their pro careers, not how they played at IU, who would be on the team? So he said his starters would be Isaiah Thomas, Victor Oladipo, Walt Bellamy, John McLaughlin, and George McGinnis. His bench would be Eric Gordon, Calbert Chaney, Tom Van Arsdale, Dick Van Arsdale, OG, Quinn Buckner, Slick Leonard, and Butch Carter. And he said his toughest omissions were Kent Benson and Alan Henderson. So, Jeff, I'll throw this one to you first. I'm not going to ask you to go through the exercise, but any tweaks that you would make to Brian's team and or anybody else that you think should be considered for the exercise?
Yeah, I like the question. And we were kind of talking there off in the break about this could be almost a full episode in the off season, but I would drop Victor out of that top five. I would put Eric Gordon in there because I think you look at Eric's career, he's been a sixth man of the year. He's, you know, I think he's averaging somewhere around 16 or 17 points a game for his career. Or at least he was, and, you know, I know he missed a year, had an injury maybe here in the last year or so that kept him out some, but, and then also I'd put Tom Van Arsdale ahead of McLaughlin. But I'm probably splitting hairs on that one, but Vic would not be in my top five. He'd be on the list, but I'm not sure he'd be in he wouldn't be in my top five.
Yeah. Coach, any changes you'd make?
No, it's hard to see the guys you love in college, but maybe didn't play well in the NBA. I mean, you got champions like Steve Alford didn't play well in the NBA, and you're talking Indiana basketball, and you can't have a discussion with Steve Alford per the criteria of Brian's question. That may, you know, Scott May didn't have a really great pro career, but was just an outstanding Indiana basketball player. And I think to answer it fully, it does need to be an off-season show so you can spend some time going back over NBA stats and making sure that you're not clouded by. When you think Indiana basketball, you want to talk about Indiana greatness, it all goes to what you've seen in Assembly Hall and in college. And the question was your best Indiana pros. And, you know, I we're all different variety of how much we watch the pros. With bracketology, I've lost track of the pros in the last 5 or 6 years because I'm watching four college games every college window. And so I lose track of the NBA in the last 5 or 6 years, and I don't know that I watched it a whole lot with some of those earlier names. But yeah, we can also go on names that don't even sniff that list that were really good college players that were not even, you know, you got Zeller too, who is having a career making a lot of money in the NBA, but it hasn't been outstanding and wouldn't be in the 13 best probably, that that there are some of those guys on that list as well.
Tony,
I'll
about
say
you
real quick.
Oh, go ahead, Jeff.
I was just going to say a name that popped up in the chat that you'd have to include on that. Not a great pro, but a great college career. Jimmy Rail.
Yeah. Yep. True.
Absolutely.
True. I've seen. Yeah. Woodson and Jeffries have also shown up in the chat. Yep. Tony, your thoughts on the list?
I think. Whitman. Yeah, Whitman. Here's one. Here's one. Do you add him to the list? Jordan Crawford.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's interesting.
Or do you have to graduate a Hoosier or end your career a Hoosier?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that there's no rules specifically stated about that, so it could be anything.
I think if you ask this question 5 years, OG might be a no-brainer in that starting lineup. I watched him just absolutely annihilate the Pacers yesterday. 16 points in the first quarter, just too strong for some of the guards to guard, but too versatile and agile for some of the bigs to guard. And I mean, he was very clearly the best player on the floor last night in the Pacers Raptors game. And he's getting a lot of good minutes right now primary scoring options right now with Siakam being out for the Raptors. So I think OG will end up being up there. I agree with Jeff on Eric Gordon. I mean, that guy's made a living of, you know, being kind of that sixth man of the year in that 15 to 20 point per game range for what seems like forever now. And so very solid pro. Oladipo just kind of up and down. You know, guy was an all-star, but then at the same time has had some seasons that he struggled a little bit. So as everybody mentioned, it tough exercise because there's so much to dive into. And again, probably somebody that we're not thinking about right off the top of our heads that we're like, oh yeah, duh, he should be on there, something along those lines. So great question.
All right. Yeah, I was looking up while we were on there. I was looking up Woodson's stats. I mean, he averaged double figures for this is kind of weird the way they split this as you change teams in different years. But I think it might have been 9 straight years he was in double figures. I could be wrong because I'm trying to count these on the fly. But anyway, so he'd probably be in the conversation. Maybe he coached the team. Who knows? All right. So we'll wrap up with this one. Kind of a combined question from Terrence and Phillips. So Terrence started out with saying, do you have any guesses on how minutes will be divided between all the talented players this year? Do you foresee wholesale squad tradeouts to keep fresh players on the court? And then Phillip kind of piggybacked on that. Do you see 9 to 10 guys playing in the rotation to keep guys fresh and energetic? So Tony, I'll let you start with this one, but you know, how do you see the rotation shaping out? I don't know that any of us would assume, you know, kind of subbing 5 in, 5 out type scenario, no matter what we think of the depth on the team. But what do you think how do you think the rotation shakes out in terms of just number of guys getting consistent minutes?
I think everybody's going to get an opportunity, whether that be injuries, off nights that bring somebody else in the rotation to send a message. So I think everybody's going to get opportunities. Coach Woodson said himself, he wants a 10-man rotation. He's not sure if he can get there. You know, with that said, I'm going to take him at his word and kind of assume that there's going to be a 10-man rotation. But like I said, that doesn't mean it's the same 10. And, you know, the injuries happen through the course of the season. Guys go through slumps to where I think everybody that's healthy and on scholarship is going to get an opportunity to crack that rotation at some point. So then it'll be obviously making the most of that. I think the most intriguing part is the point guard aspect. All indications are that Xavier and Rob were kind of going head to head for that job. But now, you know, some news came out that Lander was really kind of growing up, if you will. And then he got hurt, I think, and was limited in practice for a little bit. So that point guard kind of rotation and how Woody works with those three, and all, if all three play or two of them play together at certain times, that part of it will be interesting to me.
Yeah. Jeff, what are your thoughts on the rotation and how you would expect it to play out at this point?
I think it'll be very similar to an NBA style rotation. I think I take Coach Woodson at his word. I think he wants to get to 10 guys. It may not be huge minutes for 9 and 10, but I think they'll get consistent minutes barring injuries. And I think he'll stay with the hot hand a little bit. I think it was referenced in there. One of those questions was like almost like a wholesale hockey line change. I don't think you'll see that. I really don't, unless it's a foul situation. I don't think we'll see five subs on the floor. I think, like I said, long story, I'm being long with it. I just think it'll be more of an NBA style where you'll see them he'll take out a couple guys, bring some guys off the bench, but you'll always have two or three of your main guys on the floor at the same time.
All right, Coach, round us out on this one.
Yeah, I the interesting thing to me is, like, sometimes you see in the NBA there's just set rotations at the 8-minute mark. This guy will go in, or this position will be changed out. Is that what's going to happen Or is it going to be more by a feel? I was pretty impressed with the Bahama rotation, that it just seemed like he had a set five. He had the guys who were going to go in next at each position, and then he just dealt that way with fouls. This guy went in or whatever. It was by feel, which is what I would prefer. But, again, every coach has their own way of doing it. There's pros and cons to having that set rotation. Everyone knows their role. You know you're going in at the eight-minute mark. Get yourself mentally prepared. Watch who's on the court for the opposing team. Figure out what we're doing, know what we're running. There's some real benefits to knowing when you're going in and what you're doing. Sometimes you get too tied with that. You miss a high end or something like that. But Woodson's done this before. He built two teams, New York and Atlanta, with young people. So there's a lot of trust for me on that. But I do think he's going to play 10. I don't see any wholesale changes. I think he'll handle his disappointment in effort and playing with the same values of Coach Knight, but maybe a little bit different, because he's had to massage NBA egos, and he knows how to deal with people who want to play, don't play, and motivate and so forth, where Coach Knight was, you're going to do it my way, and I'll bench you and scream and yell at you. And I think Woody is still that strict disciplinarian, but in a more modern style. So I don't see any five-on-five mass substitutions for discipline or anything like that. But I do think 10 will play. I think it'll be interesting to see how the minutes end up being divvied out.
Yeah, I am curious. One of the things, just in terms of him coming from the NBA, is what a couple of you guys mentioned, just in terms of, you know, are there more set rotations, at least in the first half of games, to try to get you through that? And then obviously from there, you're going to figure out what's working and make adjustments and do some of those things. So, you know, is that one of the pieces that he brings from the NBA, to have that where you've got guys who are used to being on the court with one another, and that builds some continuity in that regard? So it'll be curious to see if that is something that plays out, but we'll start to figure it out in less than 2 weeks, which is the good part.
That's it. We're done. No more questions.
All right. So that will do it for tonight's episode of the Assembly Call. If you want to see us do the show live, please join us at assemblycall.com on Thursday nights for the live broadcast of our Assembly Call radio recording. Special thanks to Bob Thompson for producing most of the music that you heard on the show. And thank you for listening. We'll talk to you again next week, or sooner if any news breaks. But until then,
take it from the green light himself. Keep your elbows in, eyes on the rim, and go Hoosiers.
Thank you. Thanks for coming out.
I like everything about that.
All right, fellas. Appreciate it. Good show. Good hour and a half of basketball talk. We need to put in the closing that soon enough we'll be having post game shows to do. So we'll be here before we know it.
Yeah.
Always good to talk with you guys.
It is.
Absolutely.
My son and I are going to go to the Northern Illinois game 2 weeks from tomorrow. So we're going to be there on the 12th.
Nice.
Very good, very good.
Based on virtually every set of projections that I've compiled as part of Bracketology, I usually just kind of look conference by conference and like aggregate the some of the rankings. Northern Illinois is supposedly just absolutely terrible compared to other MAC teams. I think them and Eastern Michigan, both of whom IU play, are like almost the consensus bottom two teams in the MAC. So I feel like Coach and I were on here at times being like, this is good. You're playing MAC schools. I'm not sure how well that's going to play out if they're as bad as most of these projections.
300 level MAC schools.
Yeah.
Don't help the old.
Not ideal.
Strength of schedule.
Yeah. That's more of the level of the MAC with two A's, I feel like. But what are you going to do? So,
anyway. The MAC.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So.
So.
Cool. All right. Well, I think that's all I got. I'm going to, since we're already after 10:30, I'm going to close this down. I'll get this posted and go from there. So,
all right. Appreciate you. Thanks, guys, for the poll. I appreciate it.
Yep. Pleasure, guys.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Right, everybody, peace. Have a good rest of the week. Go Hoosiers on Saturday. Get back on the right track, hopefully. So, we will talk to everybody next week. Thanks a lot.
All right. We'll see you.
See you.